Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, Christianity, intellectualism or emotionalism. You may be seated. Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You're supposed to be able to explain why you're hopeful, why you're faithful, why you've embraced Christianity, why you're the person you are, and why Jesus Christ is the captain of your salvation. The attack on Christianity when I was a young preacher just starting was, and I preached a lot on college campuses. We had a lot of rallies and a lot of revivals on college campuses when I was in my early 20s. And one of the great contests of wills was there was a lot of demonstrations and a lot of placards, and the theme was, God is dead. I haven't heard that for a long time. And the reason why I haven't heard that, it was a strategy that did not work. There's just too many people that know that God is not dead. But the present-day attack is just as real and perhaps more potent. The attack today is to dilute God's person, to dilute who Jesus Christ is, and to make him a one of a choir, one of several, one of many, and to dilute his person and dilute his message. And that's much more effective than saying God is dead. There's too much proof that there is a God when you look around you. Karl Marx, the founder of Marxism and the proponent of communism, said religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people. I pretty much agree with that, Carl. It has been all of that to me. I was oppressed when I came to Christ. He gave me a heart when I was heartless. He gave me soul when I was soulless. And literally, it is the opium of the people. It is the drug of my spirit. That's the reason why I don't need alcohol. I don't need recreational drugs. I have joined with the Apostle Paul and say I am addicted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. So I don't take much exception to that. But then he goes on to say the abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of the people is the demand for the real happiness. He was wrong about that. The most evil people in the world that have ever lived have been enemies and have attacked Christianity. Christianity, if you want to call it a religion, and we take exception with that because it's more than a religion, it's a person, it's an experience, it's a relationship. But Christianity as a religion is the greatest. It's the largest religion in the world. 2,382,000,000 congregants of Christianity. That's 31% of the world. Islam, 1.9 billion. That's 24%. Agnostics, 15%, 1.1 billion. Hinduism, 1.1, 15%. So by far, Christianity is the biggest and the greatest religion in the world and has been for many, many decades. But what is Christianity and what is it based on? Is it based on intellectualism or emotionalism? Is it knowledge or experience? Is it intellect or emotion? There are two types of knowledge. There's man's wisdom and there's God's wisdom. And man takes great affront when we suggest that God's wisdom is superior to man's religion, even though a man might only be 40 years of age. And God is in the eons of time that he takes great exception. Knowledge is man's perception, right or wrong, of that wisdom, whether it be man's wisdom, whether it be God's wisdom. Man's knowledge is man's perception, the way that they see that. The Apostle Paul makes a great distinction between two in the words of my text tonight. Paul was a true intellect. He was an intellectual before he came to Christ. But once he came to Christ, he rejected his past wisdom for newfound knowledge that resulted in a life-changing experience that consummated an emotional satisfaction. And I myself can equate that in my life, that I have found the knowledge that resulted in a life-changing experience that consummated in an emotional satisfaction. The sun of the galaxy of our Christianity, which is Jesus Christ himself, declared he was the Son of God, the way, the truth. And except humanity grasp and believe that we would die in our sins. I'm a great admirer of education in all legitimate fields of endeavor. People ask me, if you had to do over, what would you do? I would be more educated. I would spend more time on that. For one reason, it just gives you credibility. It just looks great on your resume, even if you never use it. I find it always interesting when I ask somebody, what'd you major in college? And they tell me, and the field that they are endeavoring in their vocation has nothing to do with it, but it just looks great on your resume. And so I'm a great admirer of education in all legitimate fields of endeavors, whether it be scientific, medical, or other. Without medical science, barring a miracle, I would not be standing here before you. The men and women of science have saved my life on at least two occasions. However, all sciences are constantly evolving. They're changing all the time. The most learned and brilliant of the sciences know and admit that a doctor's profession and office is called a practice, not a perfection. He has a practice, not a perfection. And they're ever learning all the time. Man's wisdom is subject to scrutiny, and history attests to that. There are so many strange things in the history of man. There's the myth of the flat earth. The flat earth, it is an error. It is a modern historical misconception that European scholars and educated people during the Middle East, in wholesale unity, believed that the earth was flat. And believe it or not, there is still a flat earth society today that has millions of people that still believe the earth is flat. In fact, I saw one of their ads the other day, and it was so funny when I saw it. It said that the Flat Earth Society is now available globally. How can you use the word globally if you're a Flat Earth Society? But that was their advertisement. Science is now embarrassed by such erroneous teaching, but it's well-documented fact that this absurdity was embraced by many well-meaning misguided scholars of the Middle Ages. Even though thousands of years before they'd read the Bible, God declared in Isaiah 40:22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. God said it. It's a circle. The earth is a circle. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Believe it or not, there are people that are still contending that it is flat. Another great medical mistake that was accepted for 3,000 years, and that was that when you had a sickness in your body, what we would call an infection now, that you could literally bleed it out. And it is believed by most medical professionals today that our first president, George Washington, literally was killed by his doctors because they drained 40% of his blood out because he had what we would call the flu today. I follow the science until it contradicts the Word of God. Science is amazing, but it can be wrong. The Word of God is never wrong. The grass withereth, The flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My Christianity is based on knowledge. I am an analytical person by nature. I was raised in the church, but there was a period in my life where not a week or two, but years, where I sought the knowledge of God's Word. And I have spent a lifetime studying the Word of God, and from that I have found great knowledge. I am convinced in the beginning God was not just the first few words of the world's greatest book, but it is a profound statement. In the beginning, God. We simply did not jump out here on nothing, that there is a divine architect. That's knowledge. Man was created in the image of God, not evolution. That's knowledge. Mankind was separated from his creator in the garden. That's knowledge. Jesus Christ is the only reconciliation. That is knowledge. The love of God is amazing. That is knowledge. Jesus is not going to forsake me. That is knowledge. Jesus Christ is coming back for a church. That is knowledge. This is the knowledge of Christianity. It is the knowledge that produces the emotion that I feel every day in my life. Knowledge is not the enemy of emotion. Emotion is the child of knowledge. Knowledge is the mother of emotion. When you know something, it produces knowledge. If you believed and you found out, your husband called you, he stayed home tonight and watched television, but he called you and said, hey, guess what? I just won the lottery and we've got $58 million. You wouldn't even stay to listen to the rest of this sermon. You would act like you were shouting and shout right out the door and jump in your car to go home and look at the TV. That's what knowledge does. It promotes emotion. You get emotional about what you know. David was so emotional at the return of the Ark of the Covenant that he danced himself out of his kingly apparel to demonstrate that the worship relationship trumps the office of a king. He did that because of knowledge. He knew that the Ark of the Covenant was coming back to Israel, which would provide them victory in their armies that had been denied so long. He was such a proponent of knowledge-based emotion that he wrote a whole book embracing it, and we call it the Book of Psalms. It's the most emotional book you'll ever read, secular or scriptural. It's a book of emotions. Michael, David's wife, had such disdain of emotional worship, it sentenced her to a motherless, unpredictable existence to the day that she died, simply because she looked at David dancing and his emotion was offensive to her pride. Jesus demonstrated emotion when he cried at Lazarus' grave. Jesus demonstrated emotion when he cried with a loud voice, when he prophesied about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus demonstrated emotion when he pictured his return for the church, when he said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Not a whisper, not an intellectual debate, but a shout. Paul and Silas demonstrated emotion in the Philippian jail. The cripple at the gate, beautiful, demonstrated emotion when he knew he was healed as he walked and leaped through the temple. Knowledge is not the enemy of emotion. It is the mother of emotion. It causes us to be emotional. I am emotional because of this thing. I know where I came from, and I know that I came from sin. But praise God, I know as sure as I stand here looking at you in your face tonight that God brought me from a mighty long way. And I know that there has been a serious change in me. Before I felt it, I knew it. But once I knew it, I felt it. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that my emotion, which is great in Christianity because there is nothing like it, is based on the knowledge of God's Word. And that is that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If that doesn't make you emotional, there's something wrong with that brain that is between your ears. When you realize that the world is a victim to anything that can happen, but not you, the weapons that are formed against you will be brought to naught. That is knowledge. And so you say, because I know this. I want to worship God. Real worship is based on emotion that is founded on knowledge. I know in whom I have believed. The Apostle Paul said, I am known of God, and I know God. And because of that, Peter would write and say, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not simply because of emotion that I act like I do, but it is the knowledge that is behind that emotion. It makes me want to run through a troop. It makes me want to leap over a wall. It makes me want to shout when others drop their head in despair. It makes me want to clap in joy because I realize that no matter what's going on in the world, I am now separated from that. For I am a new creation. That is knowledge. I know that I have been recreated, praise God. And because of my recreation and the knowledge of that, it makes me act silly in the world. Because all emotion makes you look silly to the person that's not emotional. When you kiss your wife and get so excited to the man that's not kissing her, it's not very emotional. When you win something and they don't win, it's not very emotional. But friend, when you realize that you were hell-bound and Christ tracked you down, brought you out of the fire like a brand out of the burning, you don't care what the intellectual says or the skeptic or the scholar, because it happened to me. Pat Boone was raised in a denomination that taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And it's a Christian denomination. And when Pat Boone received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after his wife Shirley did, kneeling at his bed in his bedroom, and went and told his Christian denomination, I have received the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. They threw rotten eggs at him personally. They took rotten pumpkins and threw them at his house. And they demanded that he repent and he recant, because they said, doctrinally, it is impossible to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, the problem is, you can't tell me what I received until you live in my skin. Oh, friend, nobody lives in my skin but me, but I know what God has done for me. When I was unsalvageable, he saved me. When I was down, he picked me up. And so I know that Christianity is divided in two parts. Those that want to make it an intellectual, scientific assent to good information, and those that say all of that's true, but it affects me in this way. I am so happy that I can't contain it. It is so joy unspeakable, I must enunciate it. I must let people know. I must show forth the praises of Almighty God. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that if you are not emotional and you claim to be a Christian, you simply do not have the knowledge that I have. I know that I did not have a frog's chance in purgatory of saving myself. But God, in all of his glory, searched through 3.5 billion people and said, I'm going to save him. He counted the hairs on my head. And because of that, I can't be quiet. I can't stop. I've got to praise him. I cannot be reserved. I've got to acknowledge he is altogether lovely. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is savior. He is baptizer. He is the satisfaction of my appetite. He is the joy of the morning. He is the rising star of my heart. He is the hope in the hopeless world. And I am an emotional Christian because I know in whom I have believed. I know what he has done, and I know what he has prepared. And so I've got to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. I cannot abide in a dead church. I can't abide among Christians that say, I'm an intellectual Christian. I don't have to have that. It's not that I am developing some kind of an appetite for that. It's just who I am. I cannot hide it. I am emotional. I cry at his love. I rejoice at his salvation. What a mighty God we serve. And friend, it's not something you learn. It's something that comes spontaneously when you know who he is and what he thinks of you. when you realize that God loves you with a love which you cannot be separated, it's got to make you emotional. It's got to put some tears on your cheek. That's the reason why he bottles your tears. That's the reason why your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. It's not just because of what you feel. It's because of what you know. You know that the flames of hell will never touch you. You know that there is a mansion prepared with your name on it. You know that Jesus Christ is your advocate with the Father, and you will not be held accountable for your misdeeds and your sins. And all you can say is, hey, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. The Apostle Paul said, I think myself happy. In other words, what I know makes me happy. You think that I am mad? I'm not mad, I'm glad. I'm not mad, I'm excited. I'm not mad, I'm happy. I just got to sing the Lord's song. I got to praise God. And it does not matter what happens in this world. It cannot affect my emotions because my emotions are not based on winning the lottery. My emotions are not based on getting a new car. My emotions are based on the knowledge of who God is and who I am in God and what God has done for me and his promises he made for me, and my emotion is based on that. So I got to shout. I got to clap. I got to dance. I got to sing. I got to cry. I got to leap for joy. I just got to do it. I know too much. Can somebody in this building give God a praise in this auditorium tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shikoroma halalaboria. Friend, I want to tell you that God inhabits the emotions of his people. He loves it when you get it. And the reason why people don't praise is they don't get it. The reason why people do praise is they get it. They simply gain the knowledge of what Christianity is. That it's the most amazing transformation the world has ever known. You can take the worst person and make them a child of the living God. It doesn't matter how far you are, he can bring you near. And when you get that kind of knowledge, you cannot be normal. You become abnormal. You simply are a new creation, a different creature. When other people are depressed, you're still rejoicing. When other people are miserable, you're still happy. When other people want to quit, you're just getting started. You are emotionally driven by the knowledge of who Almighty God is. I'm telling you that God has been my God for the last 2 years in a big way. I found this out. The 25% of Americans say that they renewed their Christianity during this epidemic that we are experiencing. But it didn't take an epidemic to cause me to love God, but it sure didn't hurt it. He is my God in the good times and my God in the bad times. I'm so glad that I've got a relationship with him that is based on love and emotion, that I can feel his presence in him. I live and move and have my being. I feel after him and he responds. I can feel his handprints on my heart. I can feel his spirit moving inside of me. And this COVID thing is one of the worst things America has ever seen. The news report this morning is that we have now passed a mile marker, that one out of every 500 Americans have died of COVID in the last year and a half. That's a terrible statistic, but praise God, for some reason I'm still emotional about God. I still say he's a great God. He's a wonderful God. Based on the knowledge of who he is, that the infinite God came down and became Emmanuel and walked among us because love would not allow him to stay in heaven. He had to come down and see about me. He died on the cross with me on his mind. And friend, if you can remain unemotional with that, there's something wrong with your logic. Because when I hear the story of God coming down for glory and hanging himself on a tree for little old me, I just want to say thank you, Jesus. I want to praise you, Jesus. I want to dance for you, Jesus. I want to shout out for you, Jesus. I want to glorify you, Jesus. I have got a real emotional relationship with Jesus, and it makes me as happy as I can be. Stand on your feet and give God some praise in this great auditorium tonight. Here's what I want to ask everybody to do. We ask you to do lots of things at altar calls. We ask you to come. We ask you to accept the Lord. We ask you to repent. We ask you to get baptized. We ask you to invite the Holy Spirit to come in. But tonight, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And you'll never be asked by anybody else, because Christianity, for some reason, Christianity celebrates Monday Night Football. Oh, it was a great game. It was close. The crowd was wild. The announcer said, "Are you having as good a time as we are?" And they were beside themselves with that close game. And so everybody says, "That's wonderful." But for some reason, Christians have been embarrassed out of their emotion. Friend, I want to ask you that you would espouse your emotional connection with Almighty God. Show forth the praise of God. Let everybody know that you are deliriously happy with your Savior, that you found it joy unspeakable and full of glory, that you are like David with a disapproving wife and kingly attire. He said, "I cannot hide my joy for the return of the Ark of God," which represented the Holy Spirit coming back to Israel. "I just can't hide it. I've got to praise God, and I don't care who knows it." I was preaching in Lufkin, Texas, in a little dead church, and I had great successes in little dead Pentecostal churches. And you just think a Baptist church is dead. Let a Pentecostal church die, it's twice dead. And that place was so dead. But there was one little woman about 70 years of age with a little bun on her head. And I was preaching there several nights. And I got to preaching just to her. She was my target, because I knew she and I was hooked up together. If any two agree, praise God. When you're preaching, if any of you get called to preach and you're preaching at a dead church, scan the audience. There's somebody there that's with you. Find them. And when you two agree, you can change the entire climate. And I preached to her every night. And praise God, she came back on that Sunday, on that Thursday night, and testified. And she said, "Oh, I just got to thinking about the Lord in the supermarket. And they had one of those pyramids of canned goods." She said, "I believe it was green beans." And she said, "It was high as my head, and I didn't mean to. But I got to thinking about the Lord. And I just got to worshiping the Lord going down the aisle. And I had my eyes closed, and I started to shout. And I shouted through the canned goods." And so they came and wanted me to give an account of why I'd knocked down the green beans. And she said, "I got to give them my testimony." Friend, this thing is not done in a corner. The Bible said they turned the world upside down. When they had a miracle, they went walking and leaping through the temple. The whole world knew they were on fire for God. The reason why America is in the shape that it's in, because they have kept the candle of emotion under a barrel. It's time that we became very vocal about the God of our salvation, based on the knowledge of what He has done for us. Everybody that knows you ought to have to make a decision about you. They ought to have to make that decision. I've told you a dozen times about the Methodist preacher that said he was so dignified in the pulpit. He pastored a dignified, highbrow congregation. And he said, "That's the way we had church." But he said, "My son was a high school quarterback." And he said, "I went to watch him play on a Friday night." And said he threw a bomb. Said they caught it in the end zone. The crowd went wild. And I was his daddy. And he said, "I stood up on my feet on the bleachers and I was screaming to the top of my lungs." And he said, "If I've ever heard God, I heard God say, 'Why will you cheer your son? Why will you be that emotional about your son and you won't cheer my son?'" He said, "When I came back to the pulpit and told my Methodist church that," he said, "I was a changed man. I saw a church come alive." Friend, you cannot hide your emotions. Not after what God has done for you. You just can't do it. If you're ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of you before the Father. You got to tell somebody. You got to shout once in a while. You got to sing occasionally. You got to clap your hands now and then. You got to let the whole world know, I'm on fire for Jesus Christ. Can you give some God some praise in this building in the name of Jesus Christ? I close with this little story. Those of you that have been here remember it. I was preaching in Austin, Texas on East 51st Street on a Sunday morning. The place was packed. We thought it was a big church. It seemed about 700 or 800. It was packed. We had great revival in that church for years. And I was preaching, and I noticed as I was preaching, there was a little lady. She wasn't a girl. She was probably late 20s. I noticed that she didn't look the part. She didn't fit in. But as I preached, she began to change. And after a while, I saw that girl sitting about midway back that had been so quiet. I saw tears. I could see her close enough to see tears. And after a while, I saw a hand go up. And she had been so quiet. And then I heard her say, "Hallelujah!" And when she said that, the man beside her, dressed in a suit, I found out later he was an attorney, graduated from the University of Texas. He looked at her because she hadn't shared with him that as a young girl, she was raised in a Holy Ghost-filled church and she had been backslid for years. Friend, if you ever get it, be careful. It'll embarrass you in a nightclub. It's still there. It might be dormant. It'll wake up at the worst time. It'll wake up at the worst time. And the more I preached, the rowder she got. And finally, she threw one hand up and just happened to hit his glasses and knock his glasses off. He looked at her, "What in the world am I married to?" He had no idea he had married a holy roller. She had hit it well. She had hit it well. But the problem is she had the knowledge. And the knowledge just wouldn't let the emotions quit. And the more I preached, the more emotional she got. And when I opened that altar, she reached over and grabbed him and drug him down that aisle. He stood in front of me bewildered. What am I going to do? And I took a couple of minutes to explain to him. And it was my exciting privilege to lay my hands on that attorney and watch God baptize him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Friend, we're to show forth the praise of God. It's time the church of the living God let the world know that the Christian experience is the most emotional experience in the world. There's nothing like it. You're emotional on your wedding day. You're emotional when you got your diploma. You're emotional when you got your first car, when you got your first house. You're emotional about so many things. But the key emotion in your life should be, I'm saved and gloriously filled with the Spirit of the living God. I wonder if there's anybody in this audience tonight that would like to step out and walk down this aisle and say, I've deprived myself of release and I don't want to be not emotional because people make fun of you. But I'm known tonight that what God has done for me is a reality. And I make this promise to God that I will not hide my emotion again. I'll let the whole world know that Jesus saved me. And when I release that kind of a testimony before anybody, it's going to bring a reservoir of God's Spirit and God's power and God's blessing in my life that I have never, ever known in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.